Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
Coming from a background of being a recovering alcoholic, I think of that song Piano Man, where the guy says, you know, Bill, I believe this is killing me. As a smile ran away from his face, I could be a movie star if I could get out of this place. Like, I will never. Yes, when you're a drilled to a bar stool and you can't get off of it because you're drinking your life away, you don't do anything you say you're going to do. And you do all sorts of things you say you're not going to do. So doing what I say I'm going to do is something I'm proud of, I feel committed to, and I don't relate to people who don't do that. I don't understand how people could live in a world where they don't keep their word. It just doesn't make any sense to me to operate like that.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, with very special treat, he is the number one meme creator in the history of social media, bar none. He's a branding expert who carries a ton of influence. He's a deep thinker and runs on my type of optimistic frequency. His sense of humor is off the charts, and his engagement on social media is on another stratosphere, which in today's world carries a lot of weight. He's overcome his share of adversity, including rock bottom, and he's just a juggernaut in all facets of life and a terrific husband and father. Please welcome the legendary, hysterical, charming, fun, and enthusiastic Hank Sinatra. How you doing, Hank?
Juggernaut. I like that word. That's a good word.
It's a good one, right?
I might start a new Instagram page.
It'll take off. There's no doubt about that. How you doing, brother?
That's what juggernauts do. They take off and they take over.
That's it. The funny part is we probably could have talked for an hour before we hit record. Light of synergy. We're both from Long Island.
Very.
And New Yorkers to the core.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing in this guy's Instagram bio, I'm going to forget his name, I don't mean to, but it just said thoroughbred New Yorker. And I was like, damn, that's a cool thing to say about yourself. I'm from Long Island, but I consider myself a New Yorker. People who grew up on 14th Street and 3rd Avenue might, you know, take some issue with that. But
yeah,
I remember seeing the movie Kids when I was about 14, which I tell this story sometimes. It was one of the weirdest things I ever did in my life. I saw that movie with my mother. Yeah, dude, because it was NC-17. So I wanted to go see it in the movie theater.
That was a crazy movie with the skateboard, right?
Bro, I mean, within the first 10 seconds of the credits, not, you know, stopping rolling, Casper is making out with some chick and you hear their mouths going. And I'm like, oh, no, what are we doing here? Like, I didn't think at all. And then one of the most awkward times in my life is when Casper and his friend Telly walk in on Telly's mom breastfeeding the baby, and Casper goes, yo, your mom's got some nice titties, yo. And my mom goes, what did he say? I missed it. And I was like, I don't know what he said. And I just wanted to die. I was 14 years old, man. It was could not have been more painful, but it was illuminating for both of us because she's like, is this what's going on? I was like, not really, not in Long Island. But I'm not beating anybody to death with the skateboard.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But I can't. What a throwback, that film.
I mean, it's a classic. That movie still makes my stomach hurt when I see the posters for it. It was just such a mid-90s Jonah Hill put out a few years ago. It came close to capturing the feeling of that time, but Kids was just what a classic movie. Tough to watch, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to have you, brother. I'm a fan. Like I was saying before we went on air and so forth, the audience loves to get a background. I think that the best thing to do for the audience is go check out Tank's social media. You'll have a lot of fun. You'll find out a little bit about his background and so forth. What I think is most valuable for the audience today is we just have an unbelievable conversation. Before we jump in, we're going to get a little weird. Ready for me?
I prefer it. Yeah.
Tank, what is your superpower?
Doing what I say I'm going to do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was a superpower until someone told me it this was like maybe the third or fourth thing in a row that I told a friend of mine I was going to do. I was moving to California when I was 29. And she was like, "You're unbelievable. Like, you say you're going to do something and you actually do it." And I was like, "Yeah, what, you know, what else am I going to do?" And then, you know, coming from a background of being a recovering alcoholic, I think of that song Piano Man, Billy where Joel. The guy says, you know, "Bill, I believe this is killing me." As a smile ran away from his face, "I could be a movie star if I could get out of this place. Like, I will never." Yes, when you're a drilled to a bar stool and you can't get off of it because you're drinking your life away, you don't do anything you say you're going to do. And you do all sorts of things you say you're not going to do. So doing what I say I'm going to do is something I'm proud of. I feel committed to. And I don't relate to people who don't do that. I don't understand how people could live in a world where they don't keep their word. It just doesn't make any sense to me to operate like that.
Nutrition Solutions offers the best healthy meal prep options for health, wellness, weight loss, and improved performance. The customer service and support at Nutrition Solutions is unbelievable and second to none. And when I travel for my marathons, the meals are waiting at my hotel. I don't even have to break a sweat. Even their protein donuts and breakfast items are made with fresh, organic ingredients. I love Nutrition Solutions' reliability, quality, and all-around lifestyle that they represent, which is world-class. To get both physically and mentally fit, go to NutritionSolutions.com and use promo code CLS25. Thank me later, you dig.
Yeah, and what an awesome, I'm taking a note because that was awesome. What another awesome reference to Long Island, I guess, right, Billy Joel? What a legend. Is that guy as well-known outside of New York as he is here?
So it's funny because my friend James Chitty took me to see him recently. My friend James Chitty has this private jet company. He's another really interesting guy, just totally from the ground up, built his company from scratch, got bought out by Apollo Jets.
My favorite type of cats.
I mean, really, really interesting story. He started his company. He rented space from the other side of the building was a psychic. You know what I mean? Just to give you an idea of like where he started from. So he has a box at MSG and he's like, "Hey, do you want to go see Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden?" I was like, "I don't know. Like, I'm not like that big of a fan. Piano Man always depresses me." You know what I mean? People sing that song like it's a happy song. That song to me is the epitome of alcoholism. And I know Billy Joel has had his struggles with it. I'm sure it comes from a place of a little bit of truth for him.
Sure.
But anyway, so after the concert, he's so good, dude. Oh my God.
I seen him at the Garden. Yeah.
So I got really into listening to him and I'm playing songs for my kids and my friend Dave, who's from Maryland. I'm playing him songs and I'm like, "You don't know this song?" He's like, "No." I'm like, "Wait, you don't know Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, dude? La da 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 da." Like, "You don't know, no recognition?" He's like, "No, I don't. I know Piano Man." And he's like, "I'm from Maryland, bro." And I was like, this was only like 3 months ago. And I looked at him. I was like, "Holy crap. Do people from Long Island not know him that well?" And he's like, "We know him, but not like you guys know him."
Yeah.
So to answer your question in a long-winded way, he's not that. I mean, he's a world-renowned star. We Didn't Start the Fire, Uptown Girl. He had some hits back in the day, but he's got a residence at Madison Square Garden because that's where he's from. He wouldn't have a residence at the Staples Center.
No.
Or whatever, you know, crypto.com arena.
Yeah.
Once a month.
Same thing happened to me verbatim. I went to his concert. It wasn't that, you know, of course I knew the hits and then I downloaded them all, brother. And I couldn't get enough of him. It's crazy. You go to a concert here. I mean, everyone sings to every single song, songs I've never been heard of.
Zanzibar. What the hell is Zanzibar? You know, like I'm like looking up the set list. I'm like, what is this song? The only artist. And this is part of my background. The only artist I can truly say I know every song on every album, almost every word to every song is Jay-Z. He's the greatest artist of all time, in my opinion. And if you don't agree with me, let's just move on to the next topic because we'll take up the whole podcast.
That's awesome. Great. So much synergy. I knew there was going to be some alarm here, but this is awesome. I wanted to ask you this because I ask all the greats this. I've had some of the most successful people on the show, and you always get different answers. For you personally, what are some non-negotiables for you, Hank?
In terms of what?
Like, what do you have to do every day? What's a non-negotiable?
I don't know. I mean, I gotta read, gotta exercise, but these, like, so every day is tough for me, because to say I do something every single day, I operate more on like a 72-hour schedule, I think, as far as non-negotiables go. I'm not psychotic about structure and routine, because I can't be. I have kids. You know what I mean?
That's right here.
You know what I mean? If I'm shirking my responsibilities, or shirking my real responsibilities, which are my family, to go do 1,000 push-ups, what am I doing? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Or if I'm locking myself in a room to read 200 pages and my kids are like, when's daddy going to come sing to us so we can go to bed? That to me is not a productive, that's not the kind of life I want to live. So
beautifully said.
I get it in where I can. I do certain disciplines every day. I pray, I read, I meditate, I call people that I can bounce ideas off of and that I respect. I create, I manage my pages, manage my money, manage my relationships with my wife, my kids. I just am constantly spinning plates, and I know when each plate is about to wobble and needs a little bit more momentum, you know, but it's not an everyday thing. But I also am not like, I'll talk to people about reading, which for me on a macro level is a non-negotiable, because I just am a different person when I'm reading, completely unrecognizable mentally from when I'm not reading. And I'll talk to people about that. And they're like, I remember a friend said to me, he's like, I can't read. I just can't do it. I'll read like 10 pages and then I'll just space out. And I remember I said to him, I was like, 10 pages? Read 10 pages, dude. I read 4 and I'm done. That's it.
Yeah.
Tap out. You know, I got what I needed from that little, I read the same books over and over and over. Same 20 books over and over again.
Same, brother.
And every time I open the book, it's like, it's a new book.
It's a different season of your life, different experience.
I've grown. I have new experiences. I definitely missed something last time I read it, for sure. You know, I've read Think and Grow Rich 6 times. I've read The Greatest Salesman in the World about the same amount of times. Conversations with God. I mean, these books are, non-negotiable.
I love it. I'm wrapping up Think and Grow Rich right now. Probably the 7th, 8th time, but a different season of my life. And every single time, it's like a fresh book. It's awesome.
It's like you went in and changed it somehow.
Yeah.
Like it's a digital copy.
Yeah. I think your answer is beautiful, but it sounds to me like your biggest non-negotiable is your family.
Yeah. That's obvious. You know, that's a non-negotiable. My biggest non-negotiable is not an activity. It would be awareness, which all those things help with. So I have to be aware all the time of what needs doing in my life. Otherwise, otherwise I'm lost completely.
Yeah. Yeah, this is awesome. Straight up. Weird question for you. Why do you love to laugh?
Because it's just one of those things in the instant that you're laughing, it is impossible to feel anything else.
Joy.
They say, I've heard people say that faith displaces fear. And in my mind, I have to dumb things down. So I remember learning about, you know, volume displacement. If you put, you know, I remember being a kid and getting in the bathtub and the water would move when I'd get in. And I remember being like, oh, okay. Like I kind of understand this concept. I have a certain amount of volume and I'm changing the level of the water. So if
it's pretty deep.
For a 9-year-old, or whatever it was. So if my faith can supplant my fear, even for 3 seconds at a time, and then the fear forces its way back in because it's so strong, at least I gave myself a little bit of relief from whatever anxiety or worry I was going through. And then I bring it back in again, another 3 seconds, 2 minutes later. But like, I can't not try to relieve myself of that. So this brings me to laughing. When you're laughing, dude, it's like a full 100% displacement of everything. It's like a drug. It really is. I mean, laughing is, I remember when I first got sober, one of the two things I promised myself, I'd
2002, always let, right?
2002, yeah. Two things I promised myself I'd always let myself do were go to concerts, because I love music, and go to comedy clubs, because a comedy club is a guaranteed good time. Even a shitty open micer comedy club, you're still going to laugh a couple of times. Like, if you think about the greatest comedy movie you've ever seen, whether it was Step Brothers or old school Wedding Crashers, Superbad, how many times did you laugh during that movie?
Numerous.
Five, six? Realistically, you go to a comedy club, you're laughing so hard, you feel like you're going to throw up 15 times over the course of 2 hours. That's a good deal in my book for $15 or whatever it is, you know? So I don't get to them as often as I used to because of the kids.
Yeah.
But comedy to me is just, I just realized this. It's like the crack of humor, you know, stand-up comedy is just like pure surprise and comedy.
Yeah, this is gold. My brother, I have one sibling. He's older than me. My best friend in the whole world. Every time I speak to him, which is, you know, at least once a day on the phone.
Yeah.
I would say maybe 5 out of 7 times a week, we have a belly laugh, brother.
Yeah.
And even if I'm having like, I don't really have crappy days anymore. It's more just a moment. Like if, you know, if I'm not at 10, whatever, we start dying laughing and I already forgot about anything that I was salty about. Whatever.
Yeah.
That belly laugh, buddy, crying, laughing. I mean, it's a drug. You nailed it. So much fun.
And how much do you love your brother because of that?
More than anything in the world.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain people in this world. That's why when my friend Mike passed away when I was 23 in my first year of sobriety, and my Aunt Eileen and my cousin Bobby, those three people were huge losses because they were all funny people. Like when they died, my friend Mike especially, I was like, man, that sucks that there's one less person on this earth that knows how to tickle my funny bone. You know what I mean? Or knows what it takes without too much explanation to get me to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, I've met other people since then. Adam's one of them. Adam, I mean, dude, the Meme Daddies podcast for me specifically as a creator of it or as a co-host of it, I don't know if anybody will have more fun listening to it than we do creating it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so selfish of us to do it because, dude, we did this episode when people were losing their shit over the Marilyn Monroe dress. One of the top 10 best laughs of recent memory. Us talking about that, how crazy people got over that.
Yeah.
I still think about that. I watched that episode. Me, I was in it. Like, and I'm not a crazy narcissist. I don't love watching myself on camera. I watch it for him and what he's saying, you know? He's just a killer, man. He's so smart and so funny and so creative and such a hard worker. But he also knows, and I know what it's going to take to get him to laugh. That's why we get along so well.
The chemistry, you know, is undeniable. And for the audience listening, the Meme Daddies podcast, go check it out immediately. And I love how much admiration you have for Adam. It's a cool special bond that you guys have.
Yeah. And just so they know, it's nothing like this podcast at all. Don't expect anything even remotely close to, it's like walking out of, a Wolfgang Puck restaurant and going into Taco Bell. Taco Bell's good, but you know what you're getting at Taco Bell. We're Taco Bell in that.
You mentioned getting sober in 2002. You've blown up, brother. You're exploding right now. You're having so much success. And I want to talk about all the exciting things that you have going on now, but I want to give some context to where you came from, because that's what I always found so fascinating, right? Nobody loves the Superman to just go like this. What was that like for you in 2002 when you decided to get sober, and what pushed you over the edge to make that decision?
That is so, you know, unless you have experience with that, it's very difficult to explain, because people who don't have the issue of addiction want typically some big story like a car accident or an arrest or some kind of injury. And it's almost never that. It's never a huge supernova experience. It's always a look in the mirror and a knowing that it's getting worse, not better. It's never going to get any better. It's always going to get worse. If you don't stop soon, you're going to die, and you don't want to die. And that's pretty, like, 2 + 2 = 4. All of a sudden it makes sense. And I'm telling you, dude, like, you can, and this is a lot of what I see today, unfortunately, with people trying to convince themselves of illogical conclusions that they come to, you know, just in politics or in life in general. I saw my son do it, and he didn't do it on purpose. He was just, like, confused. When you're out there and you're under the spell of alcohol and drugs, you can convince yourself to a man 100% that 2 + 2 = 4. It's 22. It's fucking, I mean, and you can convince other people. Cause my son, when he was learning math, he's like, "Dad, what's 1 + 1? I said 2. He goes, "No, it's 11. Like, I was the idiot. And I was like, "Yeah, I could see why you'd think that, but it's not." He goes, "No, it is. It's 11. And I was like, "All right, you know, I don't know what, I guess you're right, kind of. It is, you know, if you add them together, it is 11, but it's not. 1 + 1 = 2. He's like, "Dad, you know," he's like, "You're so stupid." So, like, when you're out there, you're like, "No, I don't have a problem. You have a problem. I don't have a problem with my drinking. You have a problem with my drinking." That's a conversation I had multiple times. And eventually it's like, you have a slow grinding away of who you are as a person.
Right.
And it's like, you just can't do it anymore. And you say, "All right, what are my options here?" And there's so few, like it says in, you know, in the literature, jails, institutions, or death are really what you're left with. That's what you have. That's what, you know, unfortunately, that's one why, again, when my friend Mike died, there was a lot of, "Holy crap, that could have been me" looks in people's eyes at the funeral, because he was, you know, we were all doing that. We were all doing what he was doing. There was people doing, you know, cocaine in the bathroom at the funeral parlor at his wake. And it was like, dude, if I wasn't sober at that time, I would have been doing the same thing, the same exact thing. That's how I dealt with every single emotion I had, was just escape. If I felt good, I wanted to feel better. If I felt worse, I wanted to feel worse. And then finally, I, you know, wound up getting sober in a fellowship, which is anonymous. So I don't speak about it publicly because of the traditions. I don't represent it. But most people at this point already know what I'm talking about. But, you know, out of respect for it, I don't name it. It's not Voldemort. It's something else. But that fellowship was tremendously helpful to me. I'm still involved in it to this day. And I grew up in that fellowship. I learned how to be a human being. And it's like, you have this problem, which is living, and alcohol for a time works. It becomes a solution. And then the solution stops working, which is a devastating moment in your life. And then the most devastating moment is when the solution becomes the cause of most of your problems. And then it's like, I'm in hell. And then it's a ticking time bomb until you either get sober or jails, institutions, or death. And most people will do institution after institution. And most people don't realize that rehabs are institutions. They'll take that little test on the back of the meeting list and go, "I was never in an institution. I was never in a straitjacket." It's like, dude, you're in rehab. What do you mean you've never been institutionalized?
Yeah.
"I was never in jail. You were arrested 3 times. What are you talking about?" "No, I mean, like, I was never in prison." The amount of lying that goes into people's, you know, they just anything to protect, because it's so important. It's like God at that point. Your drug and your drink is literally the only thing that makes you feel better. Of course, you're going to do anything to protect your ability to use that thing. So, yeah. I mean, but then you have that moment and the window of opportunity opens, and you either jump through it like a you know, a dying person would, or some people, unfortunately, after being stuck in that dank dark room for however many years, see the window open, they stick their face in the window, get a couple of fresh breaths, and then sit back down in that room and go, "Oh, this isn't so bad." And then eventually that window shuts again and they pick up, and some people make it back, some people don't. you know, but I dove out that window head first, dude.
Hell yeah. This is really deep stuff and I love it. And thank you for pulling back the curtain. One thing I've heard you talk about, because I'm a fan and I think it applies to this, correct me if I'm wrong, but acceptance, right? Yeah. Acceptance is power, but acceptance doesn't mean approval.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to, that was something I heard, you know, again, everything that I've heard, everything good I've heard has been something I've read, something I've heard from somebody. There were a couple of times where I thought I came up with something. And then I read something that I read years ago and I was like, motherfucker, like I can't, you know, I got nothing, nothing original, but acceptance doesn't mean approval. There's people who will listen. If you were beaten as a child brutally or molested or your parents abandoned you, people have a hard time saying, how can I possibly have a part in that? What is my part in that? Obviously, you're a victim in that situation. Your part in that is now, as an adult, allowing that to continue to hold power over you. And I get it, dude. One of the best things I learned in my entire run up to this point is from a therapist. He said that when self-centeredness and trauma intersect, self-loathing is born out of that. And that informs all the decisions you make. And essentially, if you had something traumatic happen when you were a little kid, which everyone has, it could be something as devastating as a parent leaving, being beaten, watching somebody get killed, to being yelled at. Anything that spikes your adrenaline could be a traumatic event. When you're young, you're self-centered. So in that moment, self-loathing imprints. And then even if things are going great later on in life, you'll do something subconsciously to make sure that you feel bad because you don't like yourself.
Sabotage, you know? Yes.
Sabotage. So I forgot what I was just talking about. I lost track on that self-loathing thing.
Acceptance?
Oh, acceptance. Yeah, yeah. So when I heard acceptance doesn't mean approval, that freed up a lot of forgiveness for me, because I had things that happened in my life that I didn't like, that I was resisting and fighting. Another book I just finished reading called Living Untethered, written by Michael Singer, the guy who wrote Untethered Soul, talks all about resistance. Stephen Pressfield talks about the resistance also, but he talks about it in terms of creative work and just kind of like bearing against it. But resistance is where all the pain is. I mean, acceptance, you don't have to accept horrific things happening to you all the time. Obviously you want to change your environment if that's the kind of environment you're in, but we're talking about different stuff here. We're talking about people who just accept nothing and fight everything. Someone cutting you off in traffic. You got to accept that. You don't have to like it. You don't have to go cheer for that guy in traffic, but you got to accept it. You can't fight everyone and everything all the time and expect to live a happy, useful, productive life.
Yeah,
it's just not possible.
100% agree with you. And also when you start to kind of like facilitate acceptance, it's empowering, it's liberating, because you take ownership for everything that maybe even isn't your fault. Yup, that's correct. Billionaire Mark Cuban is motivating entrepreneurs daily with his Three Commas line of apparel, accessories, and coffee. Three Commas has the softest suede crew tees, a great line of accessories, and the best direct trade Colombian coffee. Join the Three Commas Club on Instagram at Three Commas or visit their website, threecommas.com, to learn more. Thank me later, you dig?
Bro, you can, I mean, I felt the tension melt away in my body multiple times when I had things that were bothering me for years and years. I would finally say, oh, you know what? Maybe that person was that way because this happened in their life. Oh, I don't have to be mad at them anymore. Okay. All right. Great. On to the next thing. And then peeling and peeling and peeling and peeling until finally, this other book that I read, It Didn't Start With You, which is about generational trauma. My grandfather was, I can't even say anything bad about him at this point because the forgiveness has been complete and total. But you know, the guy was orphaned at 2 years old. And at that time, my son was two or three. And I thought about what my son would be thinking, looking up at the ceiling of an orphanage, 30 feet in the air, giant warehouse, wondering why nobody loves him. Even in his little brain, that's not even able to compute that thought. Like, why am I alone right now? And I was like, oh, that's why he was so angry. Okay, I got it. And then it's nonstop. There's always more work to be done. I want to live a good life already on paper. And I enjoy it. I just want to enjoy it as much as possible. And there's always work to be done in that arena.
100%, brother. And also, like, happiness is a choice, right? One of the things that you love to talk about. A lot of people think that once they get this or they do that or they make this amount of money, that it'll create that happiness feeling. But happiness is an inside job. It's a choice.
Yeah. Well, Ralph Marston, a guy who sends out a daily email, I forgot how I even found him. He's like, I wish more people knew about him because he writes such great stuff. But I remember I got an email from him and it was like, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, I'm disrespecting the hell out of this guy right now. But at the end, he was saying some nonsense. But it said, if this is true, then it would hold that happiness is not a transaction. Happiness is a choice. And I was like, yo, that's a tattoo. Almost.
Wait, can you run that back?
He said, if this is true, then it would hold that happiness is not a transaction. Happiness is a choice.
Right.
Like, and all my life I treated happiness not intentionally. And most people don't. That's the thing. Like, I've heard people tongue in cheek say, well, I was absent the day that they gave out the handbook in school on how to live life. Like, nobody got a handbook, dude. Nobody got a guide on how to live life. So do the best you can with what you got. And, you know, don't think you're lucky or unlucky because you're happy or unhappy or rich or poor or overweight or ripped or tan or pale or whatever you're identifying yourself with and judging yourself by. Work on it. Work on it. Don't get sunburned. Obviously, I'm not telling, you know, people with milky white skin and red hair to go out and try and get tan. That was a bad example, but I've been everything bad you could possibly imagine. I've been codependent, overweight, super overweight, smoker, the worst codependent person in a relationship you could possibly imagine, dude. Alcoholic, drug addict, broke, lazy, entitled. That's why I can't judge anybody. I refuse to judge anybody. When I hear people my age, I'm 41 years old now.
41 years young.
41 years young. When I hear people talk about this generation today and how they're so lazy and entitled, I'm like, dude, you weren't lazy at 16. What you were like, you're lazy now, bro. What are you talking about? I was lazy as could be at 16, 17. I was lazy at 27. I still thought somebody was going to come along and live my life for me at that age. Somehow magically, I was going to hit the lottery in some way, shape, or form. And it just never happened. And finally, I got the message that if you want a problem solved, you got to figure it out. And one of my least favorite sayings is, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. Not to, you know, dog anybody who likes that saying. I believe if you want something done the way you want it done, you should do it yourself. That's true. But if you want something done right, ask somebody how it should be done who knows how to do it. Because I don't know how to do anything. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not an artist. I ask a million questions. So maybe, again, one of my superpowers is the willingness to look stupid so that I can become intelligent in certain areas. Cause I'll ask a million questions.
Same.
Over and over again.
We don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
But I do know that I don't know shit.
Same. Yeah. And the older we get, I think the more we realize that, and that's okay. Find out the experience, right? The mentorship, surround yourself with people that are a little bit further ahead that can give that guidance. I used to think I knew it all or I could figure out it all. And once I checked that ego and evolved, so to speak, really everything began to change and big opportunities began to present themselves and so forth. I don't believe in that. That's a coincidence.
Yeah, because being on Wall Street, you must have identified yourself on some level with how much money you were making, what kind of car you were driving.
I used to seek validation just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the higher ups at the company? Did you seek validation from them?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In what way? Like, how would they judge you based on how many calls you made, how many sales you made? What was results. The results? Yeah. Yeah. See, the other thing is that I used to be very results oriented and I still, what'd you say?
Same.
I like results, dude. Don't get me wrong, but I'm almost retired from the results business. I'm in the effort business.
Marry the process, divorce the outcome. Hell yeah.
In my opinion, God's in charge of the results. I just came out with a board game.
I know you did.
Yeah. It's in Target, which is a dream. I put as much effort as I possibly could into making that board game as much fun as I possibly could, surrounding myself with the right team. Adam and I co-created that thing. He helped me write the cards. I helped him lay out the board. He designed it ultimately because he's the genius. I wrote most of the cards, but he definitely contributed. He had the titles. I couldn't have done it without him, period. He's a great writer. So funny. But
you guys complement each other really well.
Really well. Yeah, really well. But I can't go into someone's brain, make them decide to drive to Target and pick up the game. I can't do it. All I can do is make the game so much fun that when they play it, the people who they play it with who don't have it go, we got to get this game.
That's such a great perspective.
I wish I could go in people's heads. I would if I could, believe me. I'd be up in everybody's heads. Follow Tank Sinatra. Follow Tank Scorsese.
We just got really deep, and that's what it's all about. Obviously, there's a gap between when you got sober and you started doing things, upgrading your identity and so forth.
Yeah.
Only negative I got going on is we don't have 10 hours to chat. But I want to talk about some of the juicy and exciting stuff that you have going on now.
Yeah.
Your social media game, brother. I built my CLS brand on social media too, because when I pivoted from Wall Street at the beginning of the pandemic, I had 300 Instagram followers. I had nothing going on. But I networked, I created, and so forth. You've done it on an unbelievable scale. It's so impressive. How did that come about?
First of all, thank you. Second of all, caring about people is going to get you further than anything.
Yes.
So Gary Vaynerchuk, as much as, you know, people have a perception of him based on what little they've seen of him or what lot they've seen of him, I emailed him in 2009 or 8 or whatever it was. And that was when he was doing Wine Library. So I'm a recovering alcoholic. I used to watch him talk about wine. That's how interesting he was of a person to me. So he emailed me back then. Mark Cuban also emailed me back when I read his little book of business.
I read the same book a few years back, a little like maybe 70 pager.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, from that experience, realized that this is not the first thing that I tried to do. I had a blog in 2003 called Hindsight is Always 2020. I had another blog called Jay-Z for Dummies. Then I had a video blog called happyisthenewrich.com. Then I had a website called ifoundmoneytoday.com, which I won a Webby Award for.
You've done so many things. Failing is the point, right?
Pretty much, yeah, to learn. And then this happened. So I was under no delusion that every single person that follows me is to be treated like a guest in my home. Unless they're being annoying, then they get asked to leave. You know what I mean? If they're like, you know, you suck, Tank. You know, you're not funny. It's like, well, you can leave my house. I don't really need you here. And that's whether I have one person in my house or 3 million people in my house. I don't really like people disrespecting me as a human being, because ultimately, as you know, you are a human being on the other end of that phone reading the comment. I've gotten much better with it, where I actually kind of say a little prayer for that person. Like, I hope whatever you're going through gets better. But anyway, networking was the thing that started it all, because I would just reach out to everybody and tell them that I loved what they were doing. And then I started this group chat, which is actually how I met Adam. So long story short, I started this group chat with about 10 people in it. There was a guy in it who passed away, unfortunately. I went to his funeral, met Adam's partner, Brian, and went to visit Brian at his office one day and met Adam. And it was like Macy's Day, you know, fireworks, 4th of July. I mean, I was like, who is this guy? You know, so we became friends instantly at that point, started working on stuff together. And I've networked with everyone I've ever met from that point forward. You know, if somebody with a big following follows me, or somebody who's interested in what I do follows me and writes me a message, I try to respond.
You don't take that lightly.
No, dude, I don't know what I'm more amazed by, the fact that new people follow me every day, or that 5 years ago, someone decided to follow me and they still follow me. Both to me are equally amazing. Like, I love when I meet people that haven't heard of me. My wife will say, oh, you know, she thinks I, or someone, anybody who thinks that I believe everyone should know who I am. I love nothing more than when I meet somebody who's never heard of Tank Sinatra or Tank's Good News or Influencers in the Wild, because that means that I still got work to do. And I don't want to run out of work. Not now, anyway. Maybe when I'm much older. Maybe when I'm 60. If Tank Sinatra has 50 million followers at some point and somebody hasn't heard of me, maybe I'll go, really? You haven't heard of Tank Sinatra? It's weird. But that's fine. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't need you anyway. I got 50 million followers. But yeah, I mean, that to me is thrilling, because it's like, all right, good, great. Well, now you have. Follow me.
Yeah. Well, but when you started, you had no followers, right?
So I said this on the Ed Mylett show, and I'm sure you'll relate to this. So Ed goes, we started with, you know, everyone starts with zero. And I agreed with him at first. And then about halfway into the interview, I said, or a few minutes, I said, actually, you know what, Ed, it's worse than that, because you don't start with zero. You start with like 283, and then you post your first non-family, non-kid, non-vacation picture, and you go, hey, I'm Tank Sinatra, and I'm doing this now. And you go from 287 down to 265. Because your friend's wife unfollows you and somebody went to high school with unfollows you. And it's like, wait, no, I'm going in the wrong direction. That's not good. So you wind up losing followers because you're doing something new.
Yep.
You got to start somewhere. So
relatable. You got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere. So I think I started with 17. I was doing some fitness stuff on my page before that. I was doing bodybuilding competitions. So I was like flexing in a mirror every 3 days. You know, I was flexing in a mirror every 5 seconds, but I was posting a picture of it every 3 days.
Right.
So that's what I was doing.
I relate to that too.
So then I started posting memes, and then I linked up with the Fat Jewish, who started just blessing me left and right a couple of times a week. My page grew to like 300,000 in a year or so. And then I was on my own, and I was faced with another turning point. I was like, well, that was fun, I guess. Or do I try and keep this thing going on my own? Should I try and stand on my own 2 feet now? Then I kept going and I kept growing. And then I started Tank's Good News. And that was kind of like, okay, I started that on my own. I didn't have any shout outs from any big pages except for my own. I started it with, I think at the time I had like 1.2 million followers or something like that. I gave myself a couple of shout outs from the page. It grew to 100,000 in a week, which was incredible to me. And then when I started Influencers in the Wild, that was when in my own heart and mind, I was like, okay, maybe I know what I'm doing here. Maybe I do know what the internet wants. Because up to that point, it was all a house of cards in my book, because the Fat Jewish got me started. Then I started the other page based on the strength of what he did for me. So it was like, I don't own anything here. It's all a sham. Everyone's going to figure out that I'm a fraud eventually, probably sooner than later. But then Influencers in the Wild started. And yes, I gave myself a post or two from my own page, but that grew to 1 million in 3 weeks. And it just outgrew. I mean, there was no way I could have predicted or planned for that. And
it's crazy.
Yeah. That's why I think the game is going to be, I don't know, dude. I mean, I don't know if you know anything about the game. It's bonkers how much fun it is. I read this book, The Perennial Seller by Ryan Holiday, who, do you know who that is?
Yes.
Yeah. He's great. I mean, he writes mostly about stoicism now, but this book at that time, he was very into like, creative endeavors, marketing, stuff like that. And the thesis of the book is essentially forget the marketing plan, forget the advertising budget. If you don't have a solid product, none of that matters. Your budget doesn't matter because you can't force it into people's hands. So put all of your effort and energy into creating the best thing you possibly can, and then worry about how you're going to tell people about it. So yeah, we talked about it on the page a little bit. I tell people about it, but the game itself is essentially like the side of the game. This is like one of the only sales tools we have when people see it in Target, right? Is the back of the board. So basically me and Adam had this conversation one day and I said, bro, what if people on a board traveled around the world to all these dumb influencer spots like Bali and Tulum and Griffith Park and the Pink Wall, and they racked up followers instead of money, right? So on the side of the box, when they pull it out of Target, it says Influencers in the Wild, the game, a social game for social media addicts, right? And then it says, when it comes to your social media following, more is more. No matter how many followers you have, it's never enough. So how do you grow? Simple. Travel the world, ruin every moment with incessant content creation. And we cannot stress this enough, overestimate your own talent. So go ahead, chase those likes like your detox tea sponsorship depends on it, because it does. Like if you don't get it at that point, this game's not free.
Look at the blue check.
Yeah.
Verified.
If you don't get it, this game is like one joke after another. Even the tagline, go places, gain followers, get famous, no talent required.
Yeah.
It's like, you better know what you're in for. And I was looking through the cards yesterday for a product shoot we're doing. It said there's rewards, penalties, challenges, and questions when you land on a spot. The card I drew said, it said oof. The title was oof, OOF. And then it said, you get tricked by an Instagram sex bot. Get your life together. Lose 25,000 followers.
That's awesome. Everybody should check out the game.
Yeah. I mean, if forget about everything. Like the whole, like, I'm a nice guy, you want to support it. The game is fun. It's a fun fucking game. Sorry for cursing, but it's just what it is. It's a good, fun time. It's an hour with your friends and family that you're like, Cards Against Humanity was like, what are we playing here? People's heads were exploding. They were like, grandma, what are you saying? Why are you pulling that card? She's like, it's not me, it's the card, you know? So yeah, I'm so excited to, not to get too esoteric, but like what I do is so people's faces in their phones. Like I'm excited for people to do something that I'm associated with and connect with each other and laugh and hang out and create memories. That's not isolationist. That's connecting and together, you know? Yeah. So I'm looking forward to being part of that experience for people as well.
What was that? That's right. I can hear your thoughts. Have no fear. I'm going to tell you exactly where you can get weekly access to the CLS experience live in action. Drop in gems, nuggets, trainings, special celebrity and business mogul guest speakers, and maximum energy. We just launched the CLS membership. We have weekly Zooms with like-minded, growth-oriented juggernauts, networking and absorbing all the wisdom via weekly Zooms. Head to CultivateLastingSymphony.com and then bang, enter your new network today. Let's grow together. You dig? Yeah. And you do create happiness, brother. Straight up. Everyone that watches your stuff. And for the audience, we'll put it in the show notes. Everybody go check out the game. We'll land the plane with these final two nuggets. It's 2022. Right now we're in a recession. How important is it or key, would you say, this day and age to build a personal brand?
It depends on who you are and what you want to do. So,
true.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I ask people. Because when I, on the game where it says, you know, when it comes to followers, enough is never enough. I've heard people with 10 million followers tell me they need more followers. I've heard people with 250 followers say, I need more followers. It's like, well, you got to ask yourself why. So if you are a touring comedian, or you got a podcast, or you're a speaker or an author, or you're trying to become an expert in your field, yes, personal brand is indispensable. Don't leave home without it. MasterCard, like, can't do it anymore without that. There are certain, you know, certain things where it's negotiable, like I've seen landscape architects do really well with social media. I've seen other ones do really well without it. But if you're just like, if you just don't care, then no, it's not important at all.
That's okay too.
Yeah. And listen, I don't know if how true this is. It feels true now, but I hope this game does really well so that I can finally not care about how many likes something gets on Instagram and if my page is growing or not. And like, my whole livelihood doesn't depend on like how my pages are doing. Yeah. And I can maybe finally start, not that I don't enjoy it, but
I know what exactly what you mean.
Metrics. I don't want to, and I don't get into metrics at all. I don't know what my engagement rate is. I don't look at any of that. Brands want to know that. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. If that's something you need to know, we're not going to work together. You know, I just don't care anymore. But yeah, for people like us, it's, indispensable. My friend Dave wants to start building a personal brand, but he wants to inspire people with his story. He just, you know, he was the fourth hire at a company called Braze that just went public. He's an, you know, a really well-oiled machine of a human being. He's doing an Ironman in Lake Placid coming up soon. He just got signed on to be a volunteer fireman. Like, he's, you know,
love those freaks that do the Ironman. I do marathons myself, a different breed.
He's got a story to share.
Sure.
Again, it depends on what you want to do. But just know, I won't tell you who it was, but there was three people pretty big in social media that were asking for tips years ago. And I laid out like a couple of things that they should all do every day. And one of the guys responded, he goes, sounds like a lot of work. And I was like, yeah, this is like basic stuff, dude. This is not even like advanced social media. You're just getting started. So if this sounds like too much, I wasn't even charging them or managing this stuff. I'm like, if this sounds like too much work, then
forget about it.
Good luck. Yeah. But it is a lot of work. So know that.
But anything worth doing, right, that's an accomplishment or successful, takes some work.
Yeah. You wouldn't care about it if it didn't take work.
Right.
You would. It's like my son's video games that I play, right, where they look difficult for him. So I'll pick it up and then I see how easy it is. I'm like, this sucks. I'm not playing this video game.
Yeah.
It's too easy. You need a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah. This is an awesome conversation. We'll land the plane with this final nugget. Like I said before, I was listening to Ed's show. I'm very friendly with him. And one thing that I heard you say that really spoke to me was the footsteps prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of pivotal role did that play in your life, brother?
So listen, I went to Catholic school, hated it, got kicked out for parents not making tuition on time, which as a 9 or, you know, whatever, 12 year old kid, I'm like, the Catholic Church is a racket. You know, no kid should have those feelings, especially towards God. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that affected my feelings towards religion in general. But then I got sober. It's a spiritual program. You're taught to connect with a higher power because you're powerless over alcohol. You're powerless over people, places, things, the whole nine yards. And then I started remembering things that I was taught young as a youngster that I liked, but gave up on because of religion. the footstep prayer, footsteps prayer was one that I remembered because the message of it is so strong, beautiful. You know? So just recently, within the past year or two, especially with the pandemic, because the pandemic rattled a lot of people, normal people, successful people, not successful people are not normal. When I say normal, I mean non-alcoholic, you know, like people that are just were enjoying life. And then all of a sudden they're locked in their house and they're like, wait a second, I'm miserable. I'm going to kill myself. You know, I know too many people that suffered from depression that they didn't even know they had, or anxiety, or memories started cropping up of horrific childhood events. Anyway, over the last probably 2 or 3 years, it occurred to me that, you know, the footsteps prayer basically says the guy is at the end of his life. He meets God and he says, hey, how come at, you know, the most difficult times in my life, there was only one set of footprints instead of two. And he says, oh, it was then that I was carrying you, meaning God was carrying him, not vice versa. So then I started thinking about how my life has gone over the last 20 years. And it occurred to me that there's been one set of footprints this whole time. Like I think I said to Ed, I've been like a toddler trying to stick my foot in the sand just to get a say in my life. And yes, I do work. Yes, I care. I've made some decisions. But ultimately, every time I didn't get my way, it wound up being 100 times better than it would have been had I gotten my way.
Protected and propelled.
100%. I mean, really, there's, you know, they say that there's, I think, 3 ways God answers your prayers. Yes, no, and I have something better for you. Mm-hmm. I always got the, I have something better for you.
That's awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's no, not right now, or yes, not right now. I don't know, whatever it is. I always got the, I have something better for you. So it in the moment, whatever, I was always pissed, but looking back, man, I mean, and looking within also, not just looking back, but looking within all these painful experiences that I went through, it takes time, bro. I mean, you gotta, like, when you're in it and you're young, you start thinking like, why is all this happening to me? And what I would say to anybody who feels that way, it's to set you up to handle life, to be a warrior in your own life and to be able to handle anything that comes your way. And not only that, it's so that you can be of service to the next person who comes along and is struggling with the same thing, because you're going to be able to speak the unique language of experience when it comes to that thing. Like, I can't help somebody who's lost a child. I've never lost a child, thank God, you know, but I've seen what happens when two people share a common traumatic experience. And if that's not God working in somebody's life, like, I don't know what is. You can see the two people, oh, you've been through that? Yeah. They don't even need to talk anymore. Yeah. Just the identification alone is enough.
Yeah. Bang.
So footprints, how you doing? Waves come, wash them away.
How you doing?
Jones Beach.
what an awesome conversation and what a beautiful way to end it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, brother. My intuition serves me right. Just the beginning of the friendship. The podcast blowing up. The brand's doing really well. What's the best way for the audience to support you?
Go to Tank Sinatra, Tank's Good News, Influencers in the Wild. If you're feeling like you need a little unsophisticated entertainment in the podcast world, check out Meme Daddies. But also, if you're looking for a fun night with your friends, go to Target, get Influencers in the Wild, and have a blast. Like, how truly have a blast. How you doing?
What's the best way I could support you personally?
You've already done it. That's it. Be from Long Island.
You come to Manhattan often or not really?
I will now, but I try and stay. I'm coming into Long Island on Monday. Actually, I'm doing the Are You Garbage podcast. Do you know those guys?
No.
They're on another level. They're two comedians, H. Foley and Kevin Ryan. They have comedians on and people, and they ask them questions to find out if they're garbage or not. So I can't wait. I need to know.
I understand.
You know?
Awesome. Yeah. let's connect. Let's grab a cup of coffee. We'll exchange numbers after the show. This was too much fun. Tank, I want you to know that you're the definition of perspective, heart, and growth, from taking your life experience to spreading positivity, light, and deep truths. You're a true gladiator, visionary, role model, and beacon of hope for anybody coming up today with big goals and aspirations. I could personally guarantee your best yet to come. Keep on spreading your wings and leaving your mark on this world. So much love and respect to you. Thank you so much for stopping by and dropping these priceless nuggets today.
Gladiator and a juggernaut, dude. I don't know how I'm going to top that. Thanks for having me.
That was too much fun, brother. Thank you.
Holy crap. Gladiator. Juggernaut.
You feel elevated?
Oh, yeah.
Mission accomplished.
I feel great.
Good.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.